It may be the fourth anniversary today, the 17th of February, of the uprising against Muammar Gaddafi, but every story that comes out of Libya suggests a country becoming more violent and difficult to live in. Two rival governments operating their own armed forces under separate parliaments, plus Islamist militants, former rebels, soldiers who fought for Gaddafi, and tribal and federalist factions, all causing a chaotic mix. The beheading by Libyan Islamic State militants of 21 Egyptian Christians a couple of days ago being the most gruesome illustration of that. The UN Security Council has said it'll meet on Wednesday to discuss the situation. This lunchtime, the Egyptian president, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, has called on the UN to approve international military intervention against IS in Libya. President Sisi told French radio that unless something is done, the whole region could be at risk.
What is going on in Libya could change this country into a breeding ground that will threaten the whole region and not only Egypt. Egypt, the Mediterranean basin and Europe have to deal with this problem because the mission was unaccomplished, was unfinished by our European friends. We abandoned the Libyan people as prisoners to extremist militias.
Now, the devastation isn't just human and emotional, but economic. The oil and gas industry has managed to keep some production going, but Libya's oil production has fallen to around 350,000 barrels a day, a fraction of the 1.6 million barrels per day Libya used to pump before the NATO-backed 2011 uprising that ended Gaddafi's rule. On Saturday, Libya's National Oil Corporation said it urgently needed more official protection after an oil pipeline from its El Sarir field was sabotaged. Other parts of the economy have suffered greatly too. Media has been heavily disrupted, with TV and radio stations stormed by militants. Husni Bey is the chairman of the biggest private holding company in Libya. Its main business is distributing products from snacks to pharmaceuticals in trucks to shops around the country. So how is the company coping in the civil war?
It is becoming difficult and challenging, and we are under constant crisis management situation. But we keep on trying because we need to provide the necessities to all the people. It is extremely difficult, extremely costly. It is very difficult to find people willing to do it, but some with great determination and willing to help. We are just covering, but it's not easy. Anything can get disrupted any minute, any time. And people can end up with bullets in their heads.
Yes, how do you try to guarantee the safety of your employees?
The first thing that we tell all our employees, their safety, of course, is first and foremost. Some of them take their own risk, but something that we completely discourage them to do. But because they belong from one area or the other, and they feel that it is urge and need to deliver baby food and medicines, they do take risks, even though we tell them that it is not a question of bravery, it's a question of safety and security first. But yet, many go ahead and do it.
Have you had any employees injured or killed?
Killed so far, not luckily, but we had one injured on the way coming from Garian to Tripoli after making a delivery there. But of course, warehouses have been looted, some warehouses have been even hit by missiles.
So
our major warehouses at Benghazi have been completely taken over.
Taken over by militia?
By militias, yes.
So what do you do? Do you have to deal with the militia or do you store stuff elsewhere?
No, absolutely. We simply, because we are present almost in every city, so we just move the operation to another center out of our 24 centers around the country, and we simply write off the center that has been taken over because there is nothing much that you can do about it.
Have the militia approached you and asked for protection money? Have they threatened you? Have they said, deal with us or we'll kill you?
Threatened as to kill, not so much. But they have offered, some of them offered protection, but we had always refused any sort of protection. So practically we are just protected by our normal security, which is usually unarmed security. But once you get attacked by people on four-wheel drive trucks, with anti-aircraft machine guns, all you do is just leave the place and let them do whatever they want.
So that has happened, has it?
It happened in Tripoli, it happened in Benghazi, and unfortunately by everybody. So there is no one innocent. Everybody is culpable.
How do you feel about what's happened to your country in the last year?
Very disappointed. Highly disappointed for the outcomes. Of course, not sorry for the fact that Gaddafi has been toppled, but very disappointed that it's not what we Libyans were looking for.
And what's the future for your business?
We are carrying on. We are not going to give up. This is our country, and we are sure that we'll sort ourselves out. The challenges ahead of us are tremendous, and we will not stop. We'll simply go on.
That's Hosni Bey, a brave man, the voice of the experienced businessman in Libya. But what about the youth? Aya Manena is founder of the Libyan Youth Movement. I asked her to tell me about how her friends and contacts were able to go about their daily lives in Libya.
Effectively, it's been difficult to even keep in touch with a lot of our contacts because the electricity disconnects on a regular basis, preventing them from, you know, coming online or charging their cell phone so that we can, you know, speak to them, and also from getting their day-to-day kind of life together. But in terms of work, when, you know, there's clashes outside, you can't secure the, you know, your ability to get from home to work and back. And so people are kind of on self-imposed house arrest. Others are struggling to, you know, finish their university studies because the universities have been shut down for months. In Benghazi, the university has, some of the faculties have been destroyed by the clashes. So a lot of people are kind of in this endless purgatory where they're waiting for things to happen and waiting for their life to continue. And it's effectively on pause.
The emotional mood and your, so the people you're in contact with?
My friends are very kind of depressed and frustrated with what's been going on. Being cut off from the outside world because of the consistent electricity cuts is closing, you know, them off from everyone and cutting off their source of hope. Many of my friends have actually been forced to flee the country because of their neighborhoods becoming increasingly violent, and many of them hoping that it's temporary. One, because they can't maintain their stay outside for very long because of the limited resources, and two, because nobody wants to leave permanently.
That's Aya Manena, founder of the Libyan Youth Movement, actually talking to us from Winnipeg in Canada. Well, Fawaz Jerjes is Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and the author of several books on the Middle East.
There is no economy anymore in Libya. The economy is frozen. You have now a war economy. You have chaos. The entire economic infrastructure has been disrupted. You have two warring governments, one in Tripoli and one in Tobruk, warring, I mean battling each other for legitimacy. The oil industry is under control of the militias. There are no business activities. And whatever money exists basically is controlled by the militias, the various militias. The business economy, which is the nerve center of the Libyan economy, is under control of the militias.
So what you're saying is it still exists, but it's just in the hands of somebody else.
Absolutely. So what has happened is that the regular political economy has been transformed into a war economy. And the war economy is controlled by militias. And that's where young men go. Young men go to where the money is.
Yeah, I mean, so if you're a young Libyan man who's 18 years old, 20 years old, what you're saying is if you want to have a job, if you want to have employment, you now have to approach the militias that maybe control the local oil refinery or the local TV station or whatever.
Absolutely. And that's really exactly what's happening now. So the national economy has been basically hijacked by local militias, local networks, militant groups, and the two warring governments, one in Tripoli, one Islamist in Tripoli, and one nationalist in Tobruk. Just to give you an idea, when you talk about the macroeconomy, even the major banks, the major central banks, in Benghazi, it was looted. In Tripoli, is under the control of the Islamist-led government. So if the basically central bank that does not really, cannot act as a national institution, it tells you a great deal about the harm that has been done to the national economy.
Give us a sense of, I mean, statistics, unemployment rates, inflation rates. What are the bare bones of the economy?
No one, not even the World Bank and the IMF, can really say what unemployment. I would say basically between 40 and 50% unemployment among the youth. And this is the critical segment. Inflation, you're talking about double digits. You're talking about poverty. And that's why criminal groups have emerged. And that's why militant groups, I mean, ISIS and Ansar Sharia and what have you, provide criminal activities, networks, money. The question is, why do young men join these groups? Not because they believe in their ideology. Many of the young men don't believe in these militant ideologies, but basically they subsist. They get their daily allowance from these networks and groups.
They have no other option.
Absolutely not. The world has forgotten about Libya. Libya is isolated, besieged, is descending into war. And that's why what we're talking about here, if you want to really see what's the term that best describe Libya, it's the criminalization of the war economy. Networks, groups, militants, militias, regions now control the economy and basically use the economy in order to recruit young men who are unemployed and basically are desperate to provide bread and butter for their families.
That's Fawaz Jerjes from the London School of Economics, one of several voices we've heard in the last few minutes, just giving us a window onto what it's like to try to exist in an economy like Libya's, which has had so much damage in the last couple of years.